James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of men does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Sister Chris, for reading the text today. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Serene, and I'm one of the pastors in AMKPC, Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. Let us come before God and pray for His Holy Spirit to guide us today. Dear God, we praise You, for You are in our midst. Guide us with Your Holy Spirit and convict us to take Your word more seriously in our lives. Help us not only be hearer of Your word, but doer of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During the initial year of COVID, most of us were advised to stay home. One day, I came across a Korean lady's Instagram with her Korean recipes. I was especially fascinated by the kimchi recipe. It looked pretty good and authentic. I read the recipe and I carefully went through it from the handling of the napa cabbage to the ingredients of the paste and how to mix them together, and then the ways to keep it and let it ferment and serve. Of course, I saw her photos and demonstrations too. Will I know her recipe is good and authentic by just looking through the steps and work it out in my mind? Of course not. So the next thing happened, I decided to buy the ingredients and make it. I follow the steps and do it according to the recipe. Only when I do it on my own can I say in the end, it was a good recipe and an authentic one. To improve on the crunchiness of the cabbage, I had to try more times and practice with the recipe to perfect it. And my family loves this recipe. And I had since made many batches of kimchi. Similarly, as children of God, if we want to live a life pleasing to God, we cannot only listen to God's word without doing it. We will need to put what we hear and what we read from the sermon, from the Bible, into practice. Today in James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27, we will talk more about this. Now, let us take a quick recap on the background of this book, which is in the form of a letter. For us to remember it better, I would like to have a background quiz today. So question one, who are the key readers of this letter back then? A, the people in the neighborhood. B, the Jews, the people of God in a foreign land. C, the believers in Jerusalem. D, the people of the foreign land. Which one? A, B, C, D. Which one? Nobody? Sorry? B, the Jews, the people of God in a foreign land. Okay? So, B is the answer. Next question. What were some possible situations, this one easier, the readers were in back then? A, they were living in luxury. B, they were enjoying their life, celebrating every time. C, they were idling, doing nothing. D, they were in tough time, going through trials of every kind. Which one? Ah, D. They were in tough time. So now imagine, James wrote to this group of Jews, people of God who believe in God. They were in a foreign land, suffering trials of different kind. Last week, we learned in the first part of the chapter, James encouraged them to continue to trust in the Lord. Despite suffering, they were to live out their faith with joy because God promised them that their faith would mature and they would receive reward. The crown of life. Not easy, but that's what God wants for his people who are suffering, not to lose hope. Today, we'll continue to learn what James was addressing and how it would help us, the believers, 2,000 years later. Here, James wanted to address a major issue the church was facing. That is, hearing the word of God without doing it. But these people did not even think there is a problem with them. Now, first thing in this list is in verse 19. James talked about anger. As people who knew God, they should practice God's word by controlling their anger. But they were oblivious about it. We will see also later in verse 26, which says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceive his heart, this person's religion is worthless. This verse implies that people were not careful with their words, and they have no problem with that. They deceive their hearts. Though James did not give us the context of why he had to address this, but it was serious enough for him to do so. In fact, in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Gives us a glimpse of how the church and the people of God were divided because they were not controlling their words and gotten angry easily. Let's look at verse 19. It says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Anger normally happens when we have different opinions on certain subject. If you and your roommate both are tidy and neat, there will not be any conflict. If one of you are very neat and the other one is a bit messy and disorganized, there could be potential conflict and anger could easily emerge. There's also a possibility of so-called righteous anger in this case. As highlighted earlier, many believers were not living out their faith then. There could be a group of believers who felt that others were not doing it correctly and gotten angry with them. For example, some believers could be oppressing the poor, and others who saw the injustice got angry with them and led to quarrel and fights. Such anger certainly has a place, but should only be done with careful and diligent exercise of prayer and thought. These situations are not unfamiliar to us. We could also be quick to get angry when we are put in situations where people's view are different from ours, and it is serious enough to be frustrated. But James urged his audience and us to uphold a principle: be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Sometimes we jump into conclusion easily. We speak with harsh words, impulsively, without thinking through, and just because we are charged up and angry. So to live peacefully in a church community, this principle, to quick to listen, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, is a very helpful guide. We should always seek to understand by listening to others, because we speak before we speak off our mind. And even if we are to speak our mind off, we should avoid saying harsh and angry words to hurt and tear people down. By now, perhaps you would like to tell me, it is easier said than done, Serene. But that's the point. We normally conclude our thoughts with this sentence, and let this principle stay in our mind, not into our heart. We are reluctant to change our attitude in the way that we see things. We will rationalize all the situations to justify our anger. This is exactly how we deceive ourselves and think that it is fine. God will understand. Sounds familiar? Yes, I did it too. Maybe we can start to let this principle sink into our hearts. Think through, who the people are we constantly angry with? Can we apply this principle when we interact with them again? Next, let us find out why James told his audience to do this in dealing with their anger. To James, if we are short-tempered or easily angered, regardless of normal anger or righteous anger, it does not produce the righteousness of God. We see it in verse 20. What does he mean by this? Some commentators say that James was trying to highlight that human anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Another view sees that human anger does not bring about God's justice easily. God's justice or human anger could not set things right. Simply put, one reason is that by being angry is not something that God desires of us. Another reason is that when we get angry, we will not bring God's justice and the situation will not be resolved. So regardless of what stance we take here in explaining this view, one thing we can be sure and certain is that anger will bring scars into our relationships. So remember, we are urged to be slow to anger. This does not mean that we cannot get angry at all. After all, anger is one of the emotions God gives us. But what are we saying here is not to be quick to anger, to get angry. We should be quick to hear, meaning find out what happens, what the other party has to say, analyze what they say, and then slow to speak. Slow to speak with the Holy Spirit's help and not out of impulse. Even if we are angry, do not use harsh words on others. Next, Nick, let us move on to verse 21. He continues to say, therefore, put away filthiness, all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Let's look at what these words mean. First, put away means get rid of, to get rid of. Filthiness is referring to moral uncleanness, whereas rampant wickedness is considered great evil, malice, and or desire to harm others. Get rid of moral uncleanness and malicious acts. What are some of this? Lying, cheating, stealing, engaging in sexual immorality, gossiping, or spreading rumors about others, holding grudges, or seeking revenge, engaging in physical or verbal abuse, just to state a few. This might sound serious, and we may be thinking, I did not do most of these things. That's good, but we should not just stop here. James told his audience, they need to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save their souls. Implanted word here should be referring to the word of truth in verse 18. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, and we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So these words, the truth in words of truth in verse 18, could be referring to Jesus and his teaching. When James talked about every good gift was from God. And one of the best gifts that God has given to his people was Jesus, the word of truth. So the word of truth, hence, was the implanted word by God to save their souls. They should receive this word with a humble attitude. In short, James was telling his people, the people and the church, to get rid of their old self of filthiness and with a humble attitude to let the word of truth save and change them rather than having pride in their hearts to get angry. We can see this contrast of anger versus meekness in these verses. Perhaps James knew that many of them got angry easily because of their pride. It requires meekness to be slow to speak and slow to anger. Don't you think we normally get angry because there is pride within us? We think that the other party is always wrong and we are always right. I remember one incident that caused one of my ex-colleague and I to have some misunderstanding. She was frustrated and was a bit rude to me. At least that was how I perceive it. It was an unpleasant moment. Though I was displeased, I held my emotion without getting angry. This has disturbed me quite a bit whenever I need to interact with her for the work purpose. One day, I decided to beat the humble pie by bringing her a box of sandwiches during lunchtime. At first, we both felt a bit awkward, but still, she received the sandwiches and thanked me. Ever since then, the awkward moments and the hard feelings were no more. We became friends and got to know each other better over time. And I'm still thankful for this relationship was salvaged because I put away my pride and brought her the sandwiches that day. You see, we can learn to be slow to anger with meekness. Let Jesus help us to relate to people around us. So this is the first thing here that James wants his audience and us to do. It is to put away to put God's word into practice in controlling our anger. Let's move on to the next point, and it is not to deceive ourselves. Well, the implanted word from God, the word of truth, is of utmost importance to help us live out our lives and save our souls. James continued to say more about this. Let's look at verses 22 to 24. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forget what he was like. The verse starts with but. Implies that James continues from his last verse talking about the implanted word of God. What James said was, we not only have to receive the word with meekness, we are also to do what it says. If we were only hearing the word or reading the word and stop there, James said, we are deceiving ourselves. This word, deceive, appears three times in this chapter, chapter 1 alone. Verses 16, 22, and 26. It shows that it is worth paying attention to. Self-deception is a dangerous thing in our spiritual life. We deceive ourselves by believing what is not true. If we believe a lie, then we will not be able to believe the truth. An example I could think of is we know that eating too much fried food or drinking too much soft drinks are not good to our health eventually. But we like to deceive ourselves, continue to eat and drink as if this food are no harm to our body. We won't see the immediate effect, but we will see it later. We listen to the lie, it is fine, your medical checkup is okay, don't worry. When we finally experience the effect of it in the later stage, it will be too late. We deceive ourselves by giving many excuses not to do God's word. The Bible told us to abide in the Lord, to know the Lord by reading the Bible on a regular basis. And we tell ourselves, we are too busy, no time for it. God will understand. On the surface, we are fine. But the longer we stop reading God's word, the weaker our faith and our relationship with God. In the end, we will know the consequences when things in our life start to fall apart. This is what self-deception will do to us. James gives us an example of how a hearer who do not practice God's words is like in verse 23. He was like someone who looked intently into the mirror. In those days, mirror was made of metal, normally not as clear as the mirror that we have today. And not everyone would have a mirror at home. So people in the ancient world were generally unfamiliar with their faces. When people did look into the mirror, they could be looking intently into their face, but once they went away, they couldn't remember how they looked like. This is because the mirror was blur, and they did not usually have a mirror to look at home. So a hearer who treats God's word like a mirror would quickly forget how he or she looked and in turn not doing anything. In other words, not much of God's word could be retained and much less to act upon it. Every week and even every day, we listen to sermons and God's word. But many a times, they are just knowledge stored in our mind. It does not change our hearts and our actions. Are we deceiving ourselves, thinking that we are fine? I'm doing okay as a Christian, a child of God. Some of the teaching of the Bible are too hard to obey. As long as I come to Sunday service, I should be fine. Do we make an effort to act on what we have heard or read? Maybe sometimes, yes, we choose to act on some, but not on others. Today, God is telling you and me to take His word seriously. Do not stop at hearing His word. Do it. We have talked about the hearers who deceive themselves and not practicing God's word. How about the doers of the word? What are the characteristics of a doer? Verse 25 says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." The word look in this and in its original Greek words is parakipsis. It has a meaning of having look intently. Or one commentator says, look into something in a receptive mode, meaning with a heart that is open to change. And the perfect law, the law of liberty here, should not be only referring to the Old Testament. It should include the gospel of Jesus Christ, as it is only with Jesus and his gospel will the law be perfect and provide freedom. For us today, the perfect law will be our Bible. We see here a doer is someone who looks into the word of God intently with a receptive mode to see what the word of God says, perseveres, and practice it over time. This person will be blessed in his doing. In the contrary, the hearer who looks in the mirror of the ancient world goes away forgetting his faith. Notice that James acknowledged that doing God's words was no easy task. We may not get it right on our first try. But as we persevere and do it again and again, we will be blessed by doing it. I'm very encouraged by one of our sisters among us who shared her testimony with me last year. She had a new colleague who came across very disrespectful in the way she worked with the more senior staff. And while working with this new colleague, more frustrations and unhappiness arose between her and many other colleagues. But this sister prayed and asked God to help her to continue to be more kind and understanding towards this colleague. It was tough. And each time she asked for strength and be kind and be patient. It took her 2 years to grow into accepting this new colleague. Eventually, this relationship got better, and they were able to exercise and enjoy meals together. To practice God's word, we need to persevere. If we cannot do it right at the first time, never mind, try again. To practice God's word, we need to stop deceiving ourselves, thinking that it is fine. We need to look into God's word with an open heart, then act on what it says and persevere in doing it. We will be blessed. At the end of this chapter, James sums up by going back to the issue about controlling the tongue as highlighted in verse 19, slow to speak. Verse 26, we read earlier, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceive his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Bishop Moberly, Bishop of Salisbury, put verse 26 in this manner. A man think himself a true worshipper because he conforms to outward service while he lets his tongue loose in untruth or unkindness or other unseemliness, he deceives himself. It is quite easy for us, Christian, to think that we are righteous people. We can be attending services, cell group, and prayer meetings, fast and pray, but if we do not watch over our tongue, then our worship is worthless. It is nothing to God. What does bridle our tongue mean? That means our words should not be words that are untrue, unkind, or inappropriate. Gossip, rumors, harsh words, and vulgarity are not what we should use our tongues for. If we don't practice God's word, we are deceiving ourselves, thinking that we are fine. God is not pleased if we do this. Well, more will be touched on with regards to our speech and our tongue when we go to chapter 3. So stay tuned. To be a religious person who truly worship God, we should practice God's word by bridling our tongue. And there are more to it. What exactly is true worship? To James, worship that is pure and undefiled should instead be concerned about a balance of both aspects, the social justice and personal purity. In the aspect of social justice, James specified in verse 27 to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. The poor, the needy, the fatherless, and widows are always in God's mind. If we read the Bible or Google on this group of people mentioned in the Bible, we can find many of these verses telling us about how God wants his people to take care of this group. We may not be doing very much as a church in these areas, but we can start small. The adult ministry has started visiting St. Luke's Elder Care Residence in Ang Mo Kio end of last year. This is one area you can practice your faith in caring for the needy. You can speak to either your CG leaders or Deacon Weeping. Where's Deacon Weeping? Oh, that's him. Speak to Deacon Weeping if you are interested in being a part of this visitation. There are also some CGs or individuals who have been involved in caring for the other marginalized group, like the poor and the migrant workers. Let us keep a lookout for this group of people around us, and then when the opportunity arrives, we should act on it. Last but not least is this aspect of personal purity. James put it as to keep oneself unstained from the world. To practice God's word and having true worship, we are supposed to be different from the world, not following what the world is telling us all the time. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." In a nutshell, our flesh desires, which the world is emphasizing a lot on, could be harmful to our spiritual life. For example, the desire to chase after branded goods, new gadgets, the ambition of honor, of chief places and high titles in our careers, just to name a few. I'm not saying that these things are bad, but if our life's goals are set on chasing after all these things to satisfy the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, then we will miss the goal of seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. Brothers and sisters, Friends, if I stop at only looking at the kimchi recipe and did not make it, I would not be able to taste and to know that it was delicious. Therefore, it is my prayer that we will take God's word seriously and practice it in our lives. I have three applications for us today. First, examine the way you relate to people. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to apply God's word in this area of your life. Second, is there a specific part of God's word you find it hard to live it out? Ask God to help you to persevere in doing it. Third, ask God to soften your heart to practice His word on a regular basis. I'll give us a short time to respond to God. You can tell God your struggles in applying His word and ask Him to help you with it. Or you can also respond to the three applications listed, after which I'll close in prayer. Dear God, we praise you for you have given us your holy word. Let us not deceive ourselves as a hearer, but be a doer who look into your word with an open heart. Persevere to practice it. You promise we will be blessed. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for you will convict us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Please stand with me. Let us sing the song of closing together.
Holy words, long preserved for our work in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart
words of life,
words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us grow in this world where every roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Holy
words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ.
All together.
Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient words.
Ancient words, ever true. have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Please be seated.